You're listening to Sleep Deprived Storytime. I'm your host, Matthew Carlock. Today I'm going to talk about another of my extremely exhausting yet incredibly rewarding experiences as a parent. Thanks for joining me. Let's chat. Welcome back, friends, family, neighbors, randos on the internet. So going in line with one of the previous episodes, I'm going to bring it back to that one, that wake up gatekeeper. You know, bringing your attention back to the present, bringing your awareness back to what is happening in the moment. How are you feeling when something that's triggering is occurring? What is the event that is triggering it? And can you stop it before it escalates and then you just make lots of problems for you and your kid? So today I want to talk about, like, basically doling out punishments. And I don't, like, what, as parents, we should be aware of how we are feeling when punishments come down the line. Some parents don't even try punishments, and I don't necessarily mean punishments in the way of negative reinforcement. What I mean is, you know, necessarily a behavior occurs and you would like to stop the behavior from occurring. But most of the time, I found that the corrected behavior from the parent comes from when something happens in the moment and there's a reaction on our part. It's not like my kid is going to do this and I'm going to prepare for it. Sometimes you can, like if it's something they do multiple times, you can sit there and think about it. If it's not like an emergency or life-threatening action event that's taking place. So we need to be aware about how we are feeling when we want to correct said behaviors, when we want to say this is not a behavior that is okay, especially if you have, you know, an overly sensitive kid or a toddler, any toddler. If you have a toddler who doesn't like when you, you know, tell them no, and then they think that you're telling them no, or say a big fight that we have is the TV doesn't work unless all of their toys are picked up. Unless all of his toys are picked up. When all of his toys are picked up, then the TV works and we can watch something. But sometimes they say, I'm going to pick up toys. I'm going to pick up toys. I'm going to pick them up. They never do say they're going to. And then they just start playing again. Now it's just a toddler. I know this. I'm aware that a three-year-old has the attention span of a goldfish gnat. However, not all the time. Sometimes they're really, really good at being like, hey, I need to do this task. Avoidance behavior, you know, just kind of drags things out, and we need to kind of stick to a schedule at night, because otherwise the dragging on will go until like 9 or 10 o'clock, and then no one's happy. Like, no one. Everyone's cranky at that point. So one of the things we've been doing is setting a timer. We ask him to set the timer, and he sets it. And when it goes off, we're done. We're going upstairs. And a couple of weeks ago, it was just one delay tactic after another, and in my infinite patience, everything ran out. My infinite patience was not so infinite. It was very finite that day. And what happened to me is that I felt frustrated. I felt weirdly, later I could identify it as being like attacked. I use the term disrespected, but it's really more like, what does that term mean to me? Like, if you're being disrespected, that means they are purposely attacking you. and ignoring you and making you feel this way. And while purposely ignoring might be something that happens, the root cause isn't to cause you strife and anguish. It's because they just don't want to do something, and they think if they ignore it, it'll go away, or that you'll change your mind, or something along those lines. It was hard for me to get to that point. It was hard for me to be, yes, this is, they're doing this, and it is because they don't want to do this task. And it just comes down to me not telling the gatekeeper to wake up. I was tired, cranky, upset, and we ended up just sitting in his room while he screamed bloody murder that he wanted to go downstairs. And I just sat in the chair and I ignored him until he got in my face, still screaming, and I snapped and I said, "We are," and like very loudly, "we are not going downstairs. That is done. You need to stop asking for things that you want, because I know you want to go downstairs. I know you want to watch TV. We're not doing those things." And that, you know, pushed him to be like, "Oh, okay." And he eventually stopped crying and everything. But was it really my reaction that got him to do that? Probably not. It was, come on, Disney. We would love to do that, but if all the toys are out, you know, this is the hard line that we're going to have. We're not going to sit there and watch TV, even if it's a 5-minute episode, because you decided to do a half of a puzzle, then play a quarter of a game of superheroes, and then wanted to dress up as a superhero, and then wanted to build something. Like, that's, all those things got to be taken care of. At least, you know, in a small house where you only have so much living room space, and when it's all taken up by toys, it makes holding a 2-month-old very difficult. Precarious, some might say. Anyway, so the epiphany, as it always happens, is just one of self-awareness and making sure that we know where we're going. We know what we want to do. We have a clear goal, but we also know where we're at. You know, wake up, gatekeeper. What's going on? What's triggering you? Can you pull yourself back? You're allowed to be upset and grumpy as a parent too, but understand that your upset and grumpiness is rooted in the idea that maybe a toddler is doing things on purpose to annoy you, when that's never the case. And so should you be mad at someone who's doing a very natural human thing? Maybe you can be frustrated, but try not to be mad or upset. I say that, and, you know, I just told you an example of when I did the exact opposite. Be better than me. Be better than me, people. Okay. That's about it for now. I'm hopefully going to get some friends on here soon, do some group chats. And until then, or until next time, get some sleep.
A story.
A really happy Godzilla that has some Godzilla
friends. Okay, a really happy Godzilla with some Godzilla friends. So, there is a place far out at sea known as Monster Island. Monster Island is a place that humans and people should definitely never go to. There's giant lobsters, terrifying dinosaurs, great big gorillas. I think there's a giant crustacean. There's also some big bugs there, like a big spider, and there's also a big moth, of course. But the biggest, scariest monster of them all, Godzilla, lived on that island with all of his little Godzilla family. There was the son of Godzilla, Mama Godzilla, and Baby Godzilla.
What about Malcolm Godzilla?
Of course, and a Malcolm Godzilla. Malcolm Godzilla.
A really big Malcolm Godzilla.
Oh, of course, a really big Malcolm Godzilla.
He's gonna be the big brother.
The big brother to Baby Godzilla?
Yeah.
Big brother Malcolm Godzilla loved to travel all over the island searching for fun things to do, for new friends to play with. But his favorite place to go was a big pool in the middle of the island that he could dive into. And his pool had no bottom. There was no ground to walk on. He could just dive down, being a Godzilla. He could stay underwater for a very, very, very long time. And at the bottom of this giant pool led to the bottom of the ocean where the Godzillas come from. An old, ancient hatching place where the eggs from the very first Mega Godzilla lay.
And what about a statue of Godzilla?
Sure. There were statues of Godzilla down there, too. Because humans used to worship Godzilla. Thank it for keeping the world safe. And down there, Malcolm, Big Brother Godzilla, one day...
So what about the tallest monster of them all? Is a gigantic. What about the monster of them all is an even bigger. Is an even bigger spider. It's an even bigger spider.
Oh, okay.
The bigger monster of the even bigger spider. And a very big spider called a tarantula.
A tarantula?
Yeah.
Yeah, big tarantula spider, bigger than the Godzillas. One day, the big Malcolm brother Godzilla was wandering around by the statues of the Godzilla at the bottom of the ocean, when he came across a floating little, it looked like a bag filled with balloons. He grabbed it and went to the surface of the island and found it looked more like a big plastic sack filled with water balloons. Well, little Malcolm Godzilla took it and put it on the ground and began to try and figure out how to open the bag when he heard his mama and dad Godzilla crying off in the background for him to come home. So he left the little bag there by the pool. He didn't know that that was actually the egg sack of a giant spider. When he came back to the pool the next day, Malcolm Godzilla found the big bag of eggs, the sack of eggs, and opened it, and all the little water balloons seemed to have been gone. He was very upset about that, but soon found something new to take his mind off of his missing things.
Yeah, the giant spider, he says, was rich.
Yes.
It didn't hurt me from this past time.
That's right.
My boy, you're different.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, please like, share, review, do the social media thing. A big shout out to my friend Albert Maldonado for engineering the sound to perfection. If you'd like to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Instagram at KCLORACM, that's Colrac M, or on Twitter at Colrac, KCLORAC. Thanks. See you next time.